This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today, we're talking about hearing loss. Now, you could lose your hearing at any age. You know, for instance, you may be born with a condition that causes hearing loss, or you may develop an injury or problem or even an infection that could cause your hearing to deteriorate over time. And for some people, they may lose their hearing significantly to the point that it affects their ability to communicate, study, or work. Joining me in the studio today, I feel very privileged to be able to hear and share with all of you the story of electronic engineer Muhammad Uzair Muhammad Rom, who will be talking to us about his journey with his hearing loss and how cochlear implants have helped him to switch on. So we'll be hearing more about that. And also joining us, Professor Emeritus Dato' Dr. Lokman Saim, ENT surgeon, to explain more about hearing loss. It's a huge range, a spectrum that we're talking about. So I think we're going to narrow in on the type of hearing loss that a cochlear implant could address. But also the importance, I think, of understanding and going for regular hearing screening so that we can address and intervene early when this develops. How are the both of you today? Thank you so much for coming.
Fine, thank you. Thank you, Xiao Yik, and thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Uzair, I think I'm going to jump right in and hope that we can hear your personal story first. If you could take us back to when your hearing loss first developed, and how did that affect you as a child?
To be honest with you, we do not know what was the root cause of my hearing loss. And it's not even in genetics or what. I was the first in my family. So I was affecting my language, is my language barrier, because of the access to the hearing technologies and those times. Mm. So until the cochlear implant comes to the picture.
Yeah. At what age, and I'm sure maybe you might have heard this from your parents, I suppose, at what age did they notice that, you know, your hearing wasn't what it should be for a child?
It was at 4 years old, but technically it was misdiagnosed. I was misdiagnosed with a learning disability, so we went back home and I was there for 2 years. And then something is wrong, something is not related to learning disability. Mm-hmm. So we came back to the hospitals at the age of 6 and finally diagnosed with the severe hearing loss. Then there is where I started to use, I call this hearing aid.
All right. Prof, is this a typical kind of progression, family struggling to figure out what's going on?
Yeah, I would say yes. During a time when, diagnosis and replacement was not, you know, ideal, talking about in the 1980s, early 90s, diagnosis of hearing loss, especially in children, was delayed. And we did a study at that time at UKM. The diagnosis of hearing loss in children is on the average at the age of 4 years, which is not ideal at all. Children should be diagnosed to have hearing loss as early as, you know, even the first day of life. And that is possible now. So we are getting less and less stories like what Uzair has mentioned to us. Mm-hmm. With the technology that we have now, we're able to do hearing screening for mm-hmm. babies. And for WHO, that is what every country should do. Mm. All babies born to this world must have a hearing test done.
I remember my own son, and this would have been 7 years ago, when he was born, he did have hearing screening as a newborn.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah. When you say that the average age of diagnosis being 4 years old before we had hearing screening, and you say it's not ideal. Why? How does it disadvantage children when their hearing loss is not picked up earlier?
Yeah. Well, as one knows, hearing loss, especially in children, is one of the handicaps that's not easily detectable. You know, if someone has a, you know, disability in walking, on the limbs is not normal, then we can easily detect. And silly eye, you know, someone who is blind can be easily identified. But hearing loss, you know, for children who are having hearing loss, they may appear normal, very, very normal. And hearing loss is associated with this speech problem, because we learn how to develop speech and language because we are able to hear. Mm-hmm. But for a child who has lost his hearing, the ability to develop speech is really hampered, and if the hearing loss is really severe to profound, they may not develop any speech at all. So it's very important to the family so that rehabilitation can be done as early as possible. Mm. And development of speech is associated with how early we can make the child hear again. So that's important to identify as early as possible, so that they can develop speech as early as possible, and then they will speech as normal as possible. That's the objective of identifying early and rehabilitation early, so that they can develop normal speech.
Mm.
So yes. If delayed, then even if you bring back the hearing through all this technology, which we'll talk about later, mm-hmm. The center for speech has not received, you know, stimulation to develop speech. That may affect the development of speech in these children. Yeah.
Uzair, can you talk a bit about your speech development? So I presume it's because that was delayed at the age of 4 that you were misdiagnosed with a learning disability, that it was seen as you being unable to understand, what people were saying, rather than mm-hmm. you weren't actually able to hear at all, right? So what kind of a speech delay were you experiencing?
Actually, I was born with a little bit of hearing, so I was able to speak a little bit, but with 2 to 3 words. But there's no, you know, continuous sentence. I cannot construct a sentence, which is I only know one by one by one, mm-hmm. actually. So hearing aid actually is not, I'm not saying hearing aid is not good, but it's not inadequate for my hearing loss. Mm. Because my hearing loss was profound, so meaning to say that cochlear implant is the only solution for me. So when I had a chance to go for a cochlear implant when I was 11 years old, dramatically my vocabulary, my speech was going up.
Mm.
How to do that is where I go for intensive speech therapies, mappings, and exposures to the normal kids outside of the your groups, actually normal groups like my parents or what. So it has to be exposed as many as possible to different people. There is where you learn new language, new speech, new vocabulary. There is where I started to make my sentence longer and longer and longer.
Mm.
So that is why it has to be done as earlier as possible. Like Professor Longmat says that it has to be done at the early stage. Because there was my kids, my junior. Oh, she was very, very better than me. She speaks 3 languages, Chinese, Indian, and Malay.
Wow.
Chinese language, Tamil, Malay language, and English. Sorry, 4 languages, actually. That's how impressive it is. And for me, it's because of my parents. Are very strict to me, especially my mother. She sit me on the chair 3 hours every day. And repeat it, repeat it, repeat. That's where my speech becomes better and better every day.
Yeah.
So that's it, actually.
I can see that it is the demonstration of what you said, Prof. You know, you can have the technology put in to address the hearing loss part. And then the rehabilitation, right? The therapy, caring and committed parents.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And that's where the brain starts firing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we come back to what's causing hearing loss, I know the ear itself is such a complex organ. And I suppose there are many parts within that, you know, something is not developed properly.
Yeah.
And that's what is causing it. But I know it's a big question, right? Perhaps just a brief overview of, like, what are we looking at? And then we can zoom in on problems where a cochlear implant will be needed.
Yeah. As you mentioned earlier, Shawi, I remember you mentioned that there's a whole range of causes for hearing loss. You know, ranging from as simple as, you know, you get an impacted wax in the ear canal, you can develop hearing, you know, impairment a little bit. And to the most complicated cause, that is what we call sensory neural hearing loss, where the cochlea, which is the main organ that make us hear and send this electronic stimulation to the brain, is malfunction. Mm. But most of the time, when is affect the hearing is affected because of external ear, like I mentioned just now, wet impaction or there's no ear canal, it can easily be diagnosed. And if in the from the middle ear, like infection, you can get running ear, you know, pus coming out from the ear. Mm. That also can be easily detected, and I'm sure parents will bring the child to the hospital. The doctor, but we want to confine our the most important cause for hearing loss that need to be identified early is what we call sensory neural hearing loss, caused by abnormality that happens in the cochlea. Again, in this segment of hearing loss, there is a range of causes from, you know, congenital, can born with hearing loss. Where the cochlea is not functioning, or infection during pregnancy, like mumps, measles, rubella, from the mother, and then it's caused hearing loss in the child, or after birth, like severe connectors, or, you know, this yellow color in the baby, you know,
jaundice,
and also again infection during childhood. Again, we blame on the measles, mum. Mm.
That's why kind of vaccination is so important.
Yeah. Mm. So, and this condition where there is impairment of the cochlea is not seen from our side. Mm-hmm. That's the importance of hearing screening, where any child born should be screened for hearing loss so that we can detect them early. Because otherwise, even though the mother may give history of high fever, had rubella, something like that, that's only happened in about probably 40% or 50% of cases. The other 40%, the other 60%, they just don't know, you know, there's no history, you know, that something that can cause or may cause hearing loss. So that's why it's all babies, 100% of them should be a screen for hearing loss.
Could adults have problems developing in their cochlea later in life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the most common is aging. Mm-hmm. We call it presbycusis. When you reach the age of 60, 70, and what more, 80, then you start to have deterioration of the hearing. Mm-hmm. That should be diagnose and address. In this age group, the problem is not diagnosis. Sometimes they do have problem with hearing, but they think that, oh, this is something that, you know, have to be accepted. You know, I'm growing old, so it's okay. I don't have my hearing, but I can still talk with friends around me when they speak more, have to speak more louder. But these are the group actually that needs help. They need hearing aid and even cochlear implant. Yeah.
And that sense of, I'll just learn to live with it, right? It's part of growing older. Then what's your argument to them? That they can do something and they should do something. What's your argument to convince them?
Well, I always give the example. If you, you know, have your vision, deterioration of your vision, you always go and have a spectacle to wear so that you can see better. And similarly, if you are having deterioration of hearing and you have problem communicating with the family members and friends, why not wear a hearing aid that will help you to hear better and communicate well? So that's always my you know, advice to them. You know, hearing aid is not a stigma. Yeah. It's not something that when you wear it, oh, now I look old. Well, I'm not an old man. So that stigma need to be, you know, to overcome that stigma in the society, so that wearing hearing aid is as acceptable as wearing a spectacle.
Absolutely. We'll go for a quick break, and when we come back, continue the conversation to look at that process of putting in a cochlear implant, what that's like, and we can hear both from Prof. Lokman as well as from Uzair himself, who has had two cochlear implants put in. I'm speaking to Professor Emeritus Dato Dr. Lokman Saim, ENT surgeon, as well as Muhammad Uzair Muhammad Rom, a cochlear implant recipient. And we will continue this conversation, so stay tuned to Health and Living BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today, we are discussing hearing loss, particularly hearing loss that's caused by problems related to the cochlea and what kinds of interventions will help you regain your hearing and how dramatic that could be. Imagine that if you were either born with a congenital problem with your cochlea and hearing loss was evident from a very early age, or even if you developed it later in life due to some sort of infection or due to aging, imagine being able to regain your hearing. So we are hearing what that journey is like from Muhammad Uzair Muhammad Rom, a cochlear implant recipient. He developed hearing loss at a very early age, but was misdiagnosed much later in his childhood. You know, a proper diagnosis only came in when he was 6 years old, but he has overcome some severe challenges. And, you know, he's an electronic engineer, so that just goes to show that hearing loss, you know, should not be a barrier to anything you want to achieve, right? Also joining us, Professor Emeritus Dato Dr. Lokman Saim, ENT surgeon, and he's been sharing with us about various causes of hearing loss, but more importantly, trying to help us understand sensorineural hearing loss, and that's where the cochlea, you know, is impaired and unable to send those signals to the brain. Uzair, again, I think it helps us to understand what you went through, your story, your challenges growing up. Perhaps you could share that with our listeners, what it was like, and also to help our listeners understand the importance of being inclusive, you know, towards people who may have hearing problems. Why don't you share with us your challenges?
So the challenges is that they basically more into language barrier. So without the language, you will not be able to go through a normal life like other people. I believe that friends are the human being that we want to be together for the rest of our life, actually. And looking at the people enjoying themselves in mamaks and going hang out, traveling, and I was not able to do that in the early stage, actually. That was the challenges where I feel lonely. The only friends that I have is my parents, my siblings, and my cousins, actually. But then they do have time for their friends, actually. So that is where the hearing aids or cochlear implants comes to the pictures to help us to live like normal people. So the challenges was really tough, even after the cochlear implants or hearing aid. The challenges was many factors, actually. First one is actually when I was wearing the hearing aid or cochlear implant, I was accustomed for many reasons, actually, for like I was not a cool groups, actually. They have a cool groups and they have a weird groups, actually. So I was categorized as a weird groups because I'm wearing the hearing aids and cochlear implants and speaking in a different way where I call it slack, you know. So the challenges are there, actually, language barrier. So I did not get much to enjoy my life in the schools all the way to, you know, during my college life. So I was a shy boy. I was at the corner and this and that. And I was a bad student. So I was not developing quite well. In my report cards, it's only one color. It's all red. I felt quite a lot, actually. Then after the cochlear implant, and my mom did something different so that I can be bar the same bar with other people, actually. So that is where I started to develop slowly, especially language, speech, and everything. Then comes to next is the academic. the academic is going up, actually. So for the first time, I got 3 A's in my SPM. It was the happiest moment for my mother, actually, and me as well. After the SPM, so everything was going well in my education. But the challenges is still there when it comes to France. You know, in college, you have a group discussions, you know, group discussions. Everything is a group discussions. Everything is about teamwork. I was not developing very well in there. So, and I was shy to ask a question. I was afraid. I was afraid people look at me. Mm-hmm. Somehow, there was one moment that just come to my mind, actually, where whatever I do right or I do wrong, people gonna question you. People gonna talk about you. That is where I decided to change myself, to be myself. From there, everything's changed. I have a lot of friends with me going out, traveling to everywhere that I wanted to. And they even called me to go for a hangout and this and that. So there was the, if you ask me, the happiest moment is that the one to hang out with my friends, actually. It's yeah. It's different. I have never felt that in the early stage, actually. So when I went to degree universities, which my friends are not going to be there when I was in the diploma, I was afraid things will happen again. But fortunately, it was turning well, actually. I have a friends all around the world. I learned many languages. And I had a lot of friends, actually. And it was fantastic, actually. And that is where I first met my first love. I met my wife over there as well. And the challenges is still a language barrier because no one knows about the hearing loss, actually. Whoever I meet them, it's their first time. They always ask the questions. Some questions like the normal people will ask, actually. If you turn it off, can you hear on this and that? These are the challenges you're going to answer for the rest of your life, actually, because we are lack of knowledge about hearing loss, about the technologies, actually.
Yeah,
this is what we're going to do, right?
If I may add, you know, we must congratulate. I must congratulate Uzair because I remember, you know, he was struggling with the hearing aid that he had. And now he's very successful with his cochlear implant. And he was actually operated at the age of 11 years old, which is way beyond the ideal age for cochlear implant. As I mentioned, we should be doing at the age of 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. But two factors that make him successful. You know, number one, he already wear a hearing aid. Although he has severe to profound hearing loss, he has had some stimulation of the brain. Remember, the speech center is already stimulated, although it's not ideal. Number two, we must salute his parents and he himself, you know, who worked very hard to develop speech. And we have to accept that, you know, say that he still, you know, have kind of different slang, right?
Yes, definitely.
Slang,
yeah.
But, you know, good enough for everybody to understand what
he's
talking.
We all have different slangs, don't we? Yeah.
But if someone who had an implant done at the age of 1 or 2 years old, you won't notice the difference. Uzair will agree with me that they will speak as norm as any other normal children. That's why what I want to emphasize here is we must diagnose children with hearing loss as early as possible, have the rehabilitation, either hearing aid or cochlear implant, as early as possible.
Because a lot of Uzair's challenges were still because people hear the speech impediment and they judge you for that stigma. Yeah. But on top of that, the stigma of when people see you with the cochlear implant, that's something we need to work towards dispelling, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, let's talk facts, technical part a bit. What exactly is the cochlear implant doing and how is it different from what the hearing aid was doing?
Yeah. Children with hearing loss are mainly due to a problem in the cochlea, which is the organ that receives sounds and it change the sound into electrical stimulus, so electrical signals. And this is then transmitted to the brain center for hearing and speech. And that nerve that connects the cochlea, the brain is called the cochlear nerve or the hearing nerve. So in these children, the cochlea is the issue, the problem. They're not able to convert sound into electrical stimulus, although the nerve is normal.
The nerve is okay.
Yeah. So in those children or in adults or in individuals mm-hmm. who has mild to moderate hearing loss, it means that the cochlea is abnormal, but it's not too bad. It's only causing mild to moderate hearing loss. This is where hearing aid play a big role, because hearing aid actually is amplified sound that arrive at the ear, and by amplification, the cochlea is able to still function and send the signal to the brain. But if the hearing loss is severe to profound, meaning that the abnormality in the cochlea is so bad that even the loudest sound produced by a hearing aid, most powerful aid, is not able to stimulate the nerve and then goes to the brain center, then hearing aid is of no use. Mm. So this is where cochlear implant comes in. What is cochlear implant? It's actually it's a device where the surgeon will place this device in the cochlea. What you place in the cochlea is an electrode, a very small wire diameter of 0.8 millimeter. Mm. And this electrode stimulates the nerve directly. So it doesn't need the ear canal, the middle ear, we bypass all this. But the electrode will stimulate the cochlea directly, and then the signal is then sent to the brain because the nerve is normal. Mm. So how does the electrode get stimulated inside the ear? It's through a device that the individual wear outside, like what Uzi is wearing now.
Sound processor. It's called sound processor.
Yeah, this is called the speech processor, where sound is received by the processor. It is changed from sound energy to electrical energy. And then that electrical stimulation is transmitted to the receiver inside the implant in the cochlea. It's kind of wireless connection between the device outside and the device inside, the actual implant. Mm. So by this, the child or individual with cochlear implant will receive the sound, change it electronically, and then send the signals to the cochlea and then to the brain, enabling one to hear and then undergoing speech therapy to get the speech development.
Mm-hmm. And for the benefit of our listeners who can't see the sound processor that, for example, Uzair is wearing, very discreet, looks like one of those Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Earphones, perhaps you just wear behind the ear, isn't it?
People would think that I was wearing earphones or Bluetooth devices. And they were, when I was in a class and there was a lecturer, they pulled my ears. Why are you listening music in my classes, actually?
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody was laughing because everybody know me except the lecturer. So they said, it was the exam halls, actually. I was answering the examination papers. And everybody was laughing. And I was like, my apologies, but let me explain. I am deaf. That device is my hearing device. He was apologizing many, many times and said, I'm sorry, you can take as many as you want. So this is my opportunity, actually. And so all the questions, anyway. Even in the classes, all my friends say, Jay, you are very rude. You are learning while listening to music. Listen, it's my hearing device, okay? All right.
That's interesting.
Yes, so for all of you listening out there, just be mindful, I suppose. When you see somebody wearing it, it could very well be the thing that's helping them to hear all the sounds around them, right? So, Uzair, you had the first one put in at the age of 11.
Yes.
And then a second one in 2018. So you were what age then?
I'm 30 years old right now. Mm-hmm. So
you were 26 then?
Yeah, I was 26, yeah.
Why the gap between the first implant and then why the decision for the second?
Maybe I can chip in here. The technology, cochlear implant, only come to this world probably in the late 70s and 80s. But the first cochlear implant, which I did in Malaysia, was in 1995. And that was still a stage of kind of experiment. And at that time, cochlear implants should be put in only in one ear. Because we don't know, you know, all the studies have been done, research has been done. It seemed to be safe, but we don't know the long-term effect of cochlear implant to the ear and the brain. So it was advocated that the cochlear implant should be done in one ear because, after all, we, a human can hear and speak with only one ear. So that was the trend at that time, only one ear. But after, you know, years and years of people having cochlear implant in their head, it's found to be safe, is very beneficial. Then only it is allowed to have implant on the other ear. In fact, now is bilateral, we call it, you know, both ears are implanted at the same time. So that was the history of cochlear implant, you know. First is only one ear, after successful, no complication. Now everybody is having implant in both ears.
And I think it's after that happened, the second implant, it was allowed. There was my speech therapies and my audiologists calling me to come over because my mother complained that I did not hear very well, asking people repeat many times because I was wearing 1 ear. And 1 ear, like Professor Lokman says, then 2 ears is actually better than one, actually, where we can hear better. But then that time, I refused to go for a second implant because I was a shy boy and I don't want people to look at my side. That's number one, actually. Number two is that I don't want to burden my, parents because it's expensive. So that is where I refused to have that when in between the, first and second year. I think probably I was 20 plus. And when I went into a working environment, that is where I found the difficulties of listening, actually.
Right.
When you have a meeting around, and you people are talking on the left side, I have to turn it on, and I miss it out. You know, people are talking all over the places. And not only that, I was working in an Australian companies, and their speech or accents
are,
wow. I'm sorry, I'm sleeping, but can you repeat it again? So I was trying to figure out how to get a second thought. But then I was given an opportunity from the government to get a second implant. So I said, why not? Let's go ahead. That is where the second implant comes to the pictures.
What's the cost like, Prof. Man?
Well, it varies from, you know, it is a commercial thing, you know. It varies from, there are about 3 or 4 companies that produce cochlear implant in the world. I would say, if, talking about Australian dollar, a bit about 20,000 to 25,000 Australian dollar.
Oh,
in
wow.
Malaysia, it'll be about around 70,000 to 80,000 for one
for
implant.
One.
Yeah.
Not the bilateral. Do you double it for bilateral?
Well, you could double it actually, but most companies will offer the second one with discounts and things like that. You know?
So
that is just for the implant. And then the surgery will cost, depending where you have the surgery, either in government hospital, is much cheaper than compared to private hospitals.
So that's a very, very steep price. I can imagine it's not accessible, even for a lot of middle-income families. What options, what opportunities do we have for to help people access it?
Yeah, the Ministry of Health of Malaysia has this cochlear implant, National Cochlear Implant Program, where those who are economically
challenged
and not able to come up with that kind of amount of money, they do get help from the, what they call the Tabung Bantuan Pesakit Malaysia, run by the Ministry of Health Malaysia. And they have allocation every year for the cochlear implant team of Ministry of Health. So, yeah, it's good support from the government for those who are hearing impaired and don't have the funding to have cochlear implant. I mean, I always emphasize that this whatever program, they call it a cochlear implant program, but the most important in the cochlear implant program is early diagnosis. So to the team that conduct or organize this cochlear implant program, which whatever hospital, we always emphasize first is diagnosis, not just focus on the surgery. early diagnosis and rehabilitation, put them on hearing aid first and then eventually on cochlear implant. And then after that, also a journey of having to undergo rehabilitation, speech therapy. And
there's more costs involved what was it like when you finally had the second implant put in? How different was it for you?
Okay, it was outstanding. I will ask myself why I did not wear it when I was asked for the first time. Actually, I become more sensitive to surrounding and I don't even have to lip read people. I even can hear everyone with the face mask on. I can give an example. When I was driving a car with the single implant, and my mother was complaining, "Uzay, your car is making weird noise." No, I say, "There's no noise." I say, well,
you
what?
Couldn't hear it.
And because I can't hear. After the second blood, I was wondering, why is this up? Oh, now you can hear. Now fix your car. So I was like, oh, that's how different it is. Yeah. And I become sensitive, actually. Every time I turn it off, I have to put it back more on my second blood. So that I can hear better. In my office, I can hear much, much better where, in terms of communicating, discussing, many, many things that I can do on my second part, actually. It becomes more sharp, actually, to be honest with you. Mm. That's how different of having a second part, yeah.
Mm. And what are some concerns that you hear from patients or their families, Prof? Worries when they are deciding whether or not to put in a cochlear implant. I mean, we heard a bit from Uzair, yeah, right? The cost. Yeah. So, what others would you like to address?
Well, when we talk about cochlear implant, the first worry for the parents is the surgery.
True. Yeah, most of the parents come to me, actually, it's not about the money, it's about the surgery that they're going to do. Yeah. Whether it will actually prove something or not. So a lot of parents came to me, actually. I say,
this is a scary thing.
Yeah.
But I want to emphasize here that surgery is just part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And that this is, I would say, to the public, this is a big matter. But to me, it's part of the steps. And it is not a big operation. Mm-hmm. The operation, the scar from the operation is probably only 5 centimeter behind the ear. Mm-hmm. And it won't be noticed after the surgery. And it will only take about between 2 to 3 hours of surgery to put implant and then close it back. So it is a relatively safe surgery in the hands of surgeons who are trained to do this operation. And for cochlear implant surgery, the surgeon needs to be trained to do this. That's why, not all ENT surgeons are trained to do cochlear implant. Mm-hmm. But there are centers in Malaysia and also in other countries where the surgeons are properly trained. So I would say it's a safe surgery. Admission to the hospital is only for 3 to 4 days. And parents should not worry about the surgery as
the
main
worry,
issue.
The worry is that you're going near the brain. Is that right?
You mentioned surgery, in the ear. You're right, the ear is close to the brain. And the other thing is the ear is also close to the nerve, mm-hmm. not only for hearing, but also nerve that make your face move, function. So, it's, any complication if happens to this nerve will cause a facial nerve palsy. Mm-hmm. So, that's the main complication, but as I mentioned, someone who is trained to do this, that should not happen.
Mm. Yeah. But then there was one, actually. The second one is that whether the implant is going to harm them or not. They were worrying about their children's futures, actually. So whether it's actually helping or not. So we are, we are giving some tips, for example, that after the implants, you must follow what exactly the doctors are saying. Follow what audiologists are telling you. Follow what speech therapists are telling you. At the same time, you also need to practice at home, actually. It's like a normal school works when you practice at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Your brain needs to recognize that. Your brain needs to remember how to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't just switch it on and then miracles
exactly.
happen, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right, yeah.
Then we go to the other end of the spectrum if adults, especially older adults, may need a cochlear implant. And there we talked a little bit about that idea of, you know, what's the point? I can deal with it. Is age a barrier for putting in a cochlear implant?
Age is not a barrier. You can have an implant at the age of 90. And my oldest patient was 74 years old. He was former lecturer and struggling with communication, even with the powerful hearing aid. So to me, there's no barrier to age for cochlear implant. Mm. In fact, in the States where, you know, almost all children already receive a cochlear implant. Mm. So now the focus on adults. And most of the implantees are now in adults in advanced countries. And, you know, they got 5 to 10 years or maybe 20 years of enjoying life with normal hearing.
Absolutely.
So why not? You know.
Mm. So, we're all living longer.
Yeah.
And if you can, you can enjoy, like you said, the rest of those years.
And the other thing is, as people grow older, there's a bound to have this dementia problem. And someone with dementia and hearing loss, it makes their life more miserable. Cannot communicate. And that hearing loss can also make the dementia worse. So my advice is if, you know, someone has hearing loss, even in this age, cochlear implant can help.
Mm. Yeah. Will the implant last your entire life?
Yeah. I mean, that is all the work has been put in research for cochlear implant should be implanted and lifelong and should not have any complication causing any other form of stimulation to the brain. Mm. So it has been studied, it has been approved by the FDA, the American Food and Drug Authority. Mm. And so it is a safe and lifelong device. Having said that, the one that is worn outside, it undergoes wear and tear. You know, the battery, the sound processor, the wire. Mm-hmm. So that undergoes wear and tear.
Yeah. The implants is designed to compatible with outside of your devices.
Mm.
So that's why the implant can last for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Sound processor always come with the new technologies and new features. So you can upgrade.
The good thing is whenever there's an upgrade to the sound processor, it's still compatible with the implant implanted.
Absolutely, it should be.
Yeah.
It should.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap up with a little bit of a broader look at helping everyone understand the importance of just paying attention to whether you're going through or you or your family member may be experiencing hearing loss. Would you advocate, we've talked about hearing screening for newborns, but would you advocate for regular hearing screening for the rest of the population and who should go for that?
Yeah, number one, as you mentioned, it's very important to have all babies born in this world to have hearing screening. And that's one of the main WHO statement, you know. All countries to have this program and all hospitals should implement this program. This is very, very important. As regards to adults, it's not a must, but it's good to have a hearing test done once a year. But those who are exposed to loud noise, working industries, you know, with heavy machines, and of course, airlines working in the airports and all that, that they is by law to have their hearing test done every year.
Mm-hmm.
So this group of adults who are working in condition that are exposed to noise-induced hearing loss. This is compulsory for them to have a hearing test.
Mm.
But others, it's not compulsory, but it's good to have a hearing test at least once a year.
A final message from both of you. Uzair, perhaps I'll start with you first.
Okay. probably advises to many, many audience, for example, first of all, is to parents to not lose hopes if you find out that your children is having hearing loss. There are many resources or solutions out there that can help you. And once you have the implants, please be patient to your children and then do not give up and practice at home, actually. Mm. And for those candidates or the recipients, do not be afraid of yourself. Be proud. Don't matter what you do, people still going to talk about bad about you, actually. Be brave. Be firm. Talk loud. Open your mouth widely. And enjoy life. And those who are not having a hearing impaired, please be patient to those people like me, and please repeat if they cannot hear. Please include them in the groups or what. It will make them happy for the rest of their life, actually.
Absolutely.
So that's would be my advice. And yeah, it's not the end of the life. You can still enjoy your life, actually.
Prof, a final takeaway.
Yeah, I started doing cochlear implant surgery for this hearing impaired children in 1995. And as I mentioned, in those periods, there are many children who are diagnosed late and all that. And there are still hundreds and hundreds of children who don't have this opportunity to either wear hearing aid or one more cochlear implant. With hearing aid and cochlear implant, and the technology is here, they should be rehabilitated with this technology so that they can hear and develop speech and perform like any other normal children. So my wish is every child born in this world with hearing impairment to have this technology, either hearing aid or cochlear implant, so that we don't have any more deaf children who are what is the stigma is deaf and dumb. And probably we don't need to have them sent to school for the deaf anymore. If everybody have this, either hearing aid or cochlear implant for this kind of group of children.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Professor Emeritus Dato Dr. Lokman Saim, ENT surgeon, and Muhammad Uzair Muhammad Rom, a cochlear implant recipient, about the issue of regaining hearing with cochlear implants. You've been listening to Health and Living BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.